Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, that's that Miss Jenny Grubb from Longview, Washington. She's going to call up in and sing a song that Chrissy Lane made famous way back when. I'm going to play a little six string for Jenny. I'm standing back of her. She sings One Day at a Time.
Each morning I wake up and
in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most precious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we open your word this morning, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to be with us, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, unto this your word, so that we can grow thereby in knowledge and in wisdom, Father, to be able to reach out to those around us, to help those that are in need, that is walking in darkness, to realize that they need something more than themselves, that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, and that we can help lead them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, be with us throughout the service this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be back in John. The fourth chapter. You know, we learned a whole lot through John. But most churches teach just contrary to. And even a lot of the study Bibles and their footnotes and things will go against some of the things we find in John. But now let us, giving you time to get there, 1 John chapter 4. All right. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. That's verse 1. So John here is letting you and I know that we already have false prophets in the world today. They had them in their day and time. Even the spirit of Antichrist is in the world today, as it was in his day and time. History just keeps kind of more or less repeating itself. That's the way mankind is. Now, that's why we need to get things right and to get ready. Because you see, as a child of God, as a true child of God, we are different. And it doesn't matter whether we're man or woman. Your life has to change. And we walk straight and better each and every day as we grow. People around us see the change. And those that walk in darkness really comes to a point to where they want nothing to do with us. Think about these things. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. You know, John, during his life, his opponents may have claimed to follow Christ, but without accepting that the Son who came in the flesh was also one with the Father. And you know, his word tells us, God's word tells you and I that the Lord Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in him. And, you know, this position was held by many Gnostics. And John said that the Spirit will enlighten true believers to confess that Christ did come in the flesh. And we know this is to be true. There was too many witnesses that saw him, that walked with him and followed him and around him, and even after he was put to death, there was a lot that watched him die. But then afterwards, and he was buried, after he arose, there was still a lot to see him that really would have been witnesses if needed to be, because he was not only seen by his 12 apostles, but at one time he was seen by a group of 500. Quite a few witnesses, don't you think? All right, now. Here in verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Yes, it is. And you know, John attributes the work of the false prophets, and he attributes that to the spirit of Antichrist that is here in the world. And we know how it got here. Satan brought it. That old devil. And so many today are following him instead of following the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are worth, money-wise or material-wise. How much of this worldly wealth you have, without the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you're nothing. Think about it. You're strictly nothing. And it doesn't matter how much less we have, how poor we are. If we are truly children of Almighty God, we are wealthy. But our treasure is laid up in heaven and not here on this earth. Because you see, this earthly treasure don't mean that much to you and I at all. Now, 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That is within you and I, we have talked about before, and we're going to talk about it again, because here it is, right here in front of us. You see, when we become that child of God, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, all living us. Now, with them there, Satan can't be. You see? So therefore, that is in us is far greater than the one that's in the world, because what is in you and I gives us the authority and the power over that one that's in the world. Do you ever really stop and think about that? Most never have, really, stopped to think. And I'm talking about people that are sitting in the churches. But they are in these churches that are not teaching about the Lord God as should be taught. And everything is watered down and weak. And those that are listening have no idea what they could do if they was to get everything right in their life. You see, we don't have to put up with this. We don't have to put up with Satan at all. You and I are told in the Word of God, it hadn't been too long ago that we had that in our study, that what we bind here on earth is bound in heaven. What we loose here on earth is loosed in heaven. That's the kind of authority the children of God have. Think about it. When you carry enough authority to tell Satan to leave, and you do so in Jesus' name, he has to go, so he leaves. And if he has to go, look what you can accomplish. You can accomplish anything God will ask of you. But you've got to walk in faith and not unbelief. Now, verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world feareth them. You know, that word they refers to all who are ruled by the spirit of Antichrist, those that are evil. And the world finds their teaching more appealing than the truth of God. You see, that's what's in the world. And it's that helps to build all of this lust that's in you and wanting the best of everything you see out here. To have more just because you have a neighbor that has more. That's not the right kind of spirit to be walking in. Now, 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know, we know that those who acknowledge the truth of the apostolic or the New Testament witnesses to Christ, and, you know, they will recognize and conform to the teaching that John is preaching. But those who do not, think about this, those who do not are animated by a common and unifying spirit of error. And John is warning us as readers against this spirit by contrasting it with the false views of Christ, with the views that he, a personal follower and witness of Christ, proclaims. Think about these things. Now, You see, we've got to be, if we are to be a born-again child of the living God, pardon this phone ringing. We're going to go on with it. It'll quit in a minute. All right, now. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. All right, you and I, we know that he's not telling us that just because we love that we're born of God. No, that's not his meaning. You know, that those that are, we have those out there that are walking in darkness, but yet they have love for others. It's just not the right kind of love. That don't make them a child of God. But that child of God walks with godly love or in her, to where they love everyone, including the sinners. We don't love the sin and the evil they do are doing, but we love that sinner. And we pray for them. Pray that they will find the Lord Jesus Christ, turn from their evil ways, accept the Lord Jesus, put their faith and trust in him so that they can have salvation and make heaven their home. You know, God had enough love for mankind that he forgives murderers even. You could have committed murder and God would forgive it. Moses did. Moses killed an Egyptian. And yet look how God used him. But you see, you've got to come out from that, which is exactly what Moses did. And he wandered 40 years after that in the wilderness, finding a wife, had children, and all. And then God put him to work. Moses, when God started using him, was not a young man. He was 80 years old. As you read the stories in all of Moses, as we come through the Old Testament, we did read about it. So I know that what I'm telling you is the truth. It's all backward. Read through the book of Exodus and Leviticus, and you'll learn a whole lot of things that today the church is not teaching and should be, but they're not. Now, verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You know, John has also recorded that God is light, and spirit. Love is one of many attributes of God and is to be understood in relation to the others, such as holiness and justice, that all comes in through love and is handled that way. That's why you and I are told it doesn't matter what someone does to us, we are still to love that one and pray for them. He didn't say it would be easy. We're just told to do it. Now, 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. You know, for you and I to grasp God's love, we must look to how God has demonstrated it himself. And here, John is in total harmony with Paul in Romans 5:8. And if we look at Romans 5:8, here's what we find. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You see, there is a lot that you and I go at times a long time without ever even thinking about, that is true. Now, 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, no matter how much we love God, pardon me, no human love, the standard for understanding God's great compassion, but God's own action on man's behalf, propitiation. Pardon me. Got something tickling my nose. Now, 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We are to love each other, and especially our brothers in Christ. We're to love all of mankind, but especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. But you know, I've told you before, when we talk about brothers, we're not meaning just mankind. That's just the way it was written. Because you see, there was things going on in the olden days among the two sexes. It's not going on today, in most places. Now, 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now, there in 12, no man has seen God. We are told in his word that if we was to see God's face, we wouldn't live. We'd be gone. He has let some see parts of him, but never his face. I've been down that road also. I've told you about it before. Now, hereby, 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. God's character through his spirit is to shape and to progressively dominate the character of the believer. You see, the Spirit of God imparts to you and I the will to love. That's where it comes from. That will to love, especially to love everyone, comes from God. Now, 14. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Yes, we all know that. That's why he came. And to be a sacrifice for each and every one of us. Now, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and God dwelleth in him, and he in God. You know, that helps provide the context for rightly understanding, you know, other verses like verse 7, trust in Christ as the incarnate Son of God makes genuine God love possible. Think about this. We know that Jesus is the Son of God, and that God dwells in him and he in God, and they in you and I, and we are in them, if we are a born again child of the living God. That's what gives us the life changing power, so that we go from darkness to light, and we walk in and with the word of Almighty God, keeping his commandments and his statutes as he has given to them to us. Think about it. And it's the only way. There is no other way than going through the Lord Jesus Christ today. We can't go over him. We can't go around him or under him. We have to go through him. Even our prayers to the Father, we are told in his word, pray to the Father in Jesus' name. You see, we've got to go through Jesus to get to the Father. Think about these things. Sixteen. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, And he that dwell in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You see, it takes that love. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. Because without that, without belief, and believing that God loved us and did what he did, we have nothing. But we believe in that. And that God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And through the day, it comes to me. And I'll stop and tell my Heavenly Father, Father, I love you. I love the Lord Jesus. I love the Holy Spirit. I love your word, and I love teaching your word. And I'll do that several times a day, every day, because it is always on my heart and in my mind. Now, 17. Oh boy. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Herein points back to verse 16, by dwelling in love and thus having God dwelling in him, the believer gains the priceless assurance that he needs not fear the coming judgment. This is our assurance if we love in this world as he does. Think about these things. 19. You know, that 18th verse there is talking about there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear is torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You see, they spiritual things that you and I are to be perfected in. And that's one of them. We are told there. That is one of them. We are to be made. You see, fear has torment. Fear of God is based on dread of punishment. But God's love for us renders such dread as that obsolete. And fear is still part of the Christian walk in the sense of profound reverence, the unwillingness to violate God's trust in us. You see, no child of God wants to violate God's trust in you, in us. I know I don't. I want God's trust in me. Because, you see, believers need not to fear eternal rejection as a result of God's judgment. But this does not mean a Christian approach to God is to be casual and flippant. No. It means it's to be honest, sincere, and in truth, and in accordance with his word. And our love is to be strong enough to take all of our needs to Him and look to Him for the fulfillment of it. 19. We love Him because He first loved us. And that's true. You may think, no, you know, I loved him before I ever went to him. You may have. And he loved you when he put you in that womb. You was loved then. In fact, you was loved before that. You just don't understand it. Now, 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. You say, I love God, but I hate my brother, that man down the street, that man. He says, we're a liar. Can we do that? For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? He's laying it straight out. You see, our love, if it exists and mirrors God's love at all, it's not our own, but God's doing. The attitude of hypocrisy is the claim to love God while withholding love from others. For Jesus himself commanded that he who loves God is to demonstrate this through loving others. Think about it. Now, we're coming to the last verse of chapter 4. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And we have finished in chapter 4, the first John. Now we'll be going in to the last chapter this evening of 1 John. It's not a real long one. We may even be going into 2 John in the first chapter there. And I don't think it's very long. Let's see. It's not. It's only 13 verses. In fact, that's all longer. Second John is. It's 13 verses. But you see, John loved the Lord God with everything he had. And he was the youngest apostle of the bunch. And he was always there with Jesus. Now, and he listened to everything Jesus taught. And the Spirit is using him to bring to you and I everything we need in order to be that child of the living God. Now, we're going to stop here for the day. Then we'll get back up, God willing. They don't change things on me. I never know. Because sometimes he does. Sometimes he'll change things, isn't he? Anyway, if not, we'll be back into chapter 5 this evening at 6 o'clock. I hope that all of you are with me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem, for them to have peace. And also, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day all of Israel will be known as the land of Jesus. In this land of ours, Father, that has turned its back and walked away from all it had stood for, making Jesus out of every place he was in, denying the use of his name to our army captains, and denying the use of his name in our public prayers, in bringing all this evil, Father, upon our people. I'm trying to change minds and all from the evil of homosexuality to it being all right, just another lifestyle. And abortion and adultery, bringing all of that, Father, even into a lot of our churches. Father, I pray that your people can all come together in prayer so that we can replace those in our leadership of our government and our churches be replaced, and those places filled with those that are walking in righteousness, that love the Lord God, that love Jesus, that loves the church and loves your people and love this nation, and help us to bring this nation to repentance, Father, so that our government can be put back upon the foundation that it was founded on, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we're praying for your saints, wherever they are in the world. Holy Spirit, watch over them. Keep them in health. Keep them safe. And help them, Father, by filling their needs. Now, Father, to those that are sick and in distress, I pray for them. I pray that they lay claim to that healing power that has been already given, that they'll claim it. Stand on it. Hold it in faith, knowing that you keep your promises and that the Lord Jesus Christ, he bore those stripes. We are told that by his stripes we are healed. Christ, no maybes, but we are healed. Father, I'm standing on that. And I'm praying for those who will hear this, that they too will stand on it, believing it to be so, calling it done. And Father, it may not happen at that moment, but if they'll hold on to it, they'll find that it has taken place. Now, Father, as we prepare to separate, to go our own ways through the day, watch over us. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. Bring us back together this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and back into your word. Father, we do love you. We love the Lord Jesus. We love the Holy Spirit. Father, we love your word. We love sharing it with others. Father, now be with us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great, great day. Walk with God, and he'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.